Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Thank you for hanging out with us here this afternoon. We are studying the portion of God's Word here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And what we're doing is we're seeing how David shows courage. And this is the story of David and Goliath. I feel you're familiar with it, but there are many great lessons that we can learn from it. And so last week we saw that David shows courage when he enters the battle. And that's the first 19 verses of 1 Samuel 17. Grab your Bible. Let's examine our second point now. How does David show courage in this chapter, in this story? Well, secondly, he trusts in God. And we learn that from verses 20 through verse 37. Join with me in 1 Samuel 17. I'll be reading from the King James translation here, verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. David rose early in the morning. In fact, we learn that great leaders of the Bible rise early in the morning. That's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, rose early. David did, Joshua did, Abraham did, Moses did, Christ did, among others. But it was necessary for him to rise up early because it was about a 15-mile journey from where David was to where the battle was. So this would take him quite some time, and so he had to leave early. Now, when it says they came to the trench, that literally just means the perimeter. He comes to the edge of the battle. We see in verse 22, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army. He came and saluted his brethren. So he left what he was carrying with people that would manage it for him, and he goes to see how his brethren are doing. And as he talked with them, verse 23, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Champion, literally defined as a man who steps out to fight between two battle lines. Now, I find it interesting that the Bible calls Goliath a champion. I guess he's a champion, really, at intimidation, at scaring, at startling the Israelites, because they haven't, I mean, they've been fighting, but there hasn't been a massive fight happen just yet. But the kicker now is David hears these words. In verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were sore afraid. I'm not going to lie, if I saw this 10-foot man on the top of a hill, he's yelling out things, and I can hear all his armor jangling and making all this noise, I might be just a little bit startled as well. I'm not sure if I would flee, though. Literally in the Hebrew, flee from his face. Look at verse 25. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. So the winner would go on to get Saul's daughter's hand in marriage. And in fact, David did, not to spoil the story for him, he gets his daughter Michal, and Saul hopes to use that as his downfall. It doesn't work out the way that he had planned on that. Also, his father's house would be free. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's where David shows his courage. Now, this uncircumcised, that means they're outside of God's covenant. And I tell you what, David, really, he's not as concerned as what's going to happen to the man who does it. He's more concerned on the fact that the name of God and God's army has been defiled. And he doesn't want to stand for that. So he says, what's going to happen? And the people answered, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Now, look what Eliab says, verse 28, his oldest brother heard this. Eliab's anger is kindled against David, and he said, why did you come down hither? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He thinks David, we might say David wants to be a looky-loo, wants to just kind of look in there on the battle. But we see David's going to answer in self-defense and says, what now have I done? Is there not a cause? Eliab is jealous. Eliab thinks David should just still be out there tending the sheep in the field, but David's going to set him straight. So look what happens. Because he turns toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him in the former manner. And when the words which David heard these, he goes to Saul. Look at verse 32, and they've already had an encounter. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Who's him? That's Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." If I were paraphrasing this today, David says to Saul, "Don't let Goliath scare you." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from your youth." David's probably up to 16 years old, anywhere from 10, 12, 16. And Saul says, "Who are you? You're too young. You're not able to fight." He says, "Goliath has been fighting since he's your age." I'm reminded of what Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Then he gives a list of different ways to be an example. In verses 34 through 36, just to paraphrase, David gives his credentials. He says, "I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, I've been faithful to the Lord, and I will kill the one that hath defied the armies of the living God." Verse 37, David said, "God is with me." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." So David's confidence, he trusts in the Lord. Romans 8:31, "If God's for us, who shall be against us?" John 16:33, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Friends, we need to be like David. David trusts so much in God, he is willing to literally face a giant, to go up against Goliath and say, "Who are you to defy the armies of the living God?" And that's the second way that David shows courage. He trusts in God. We need to pause here. On the other side of this break, we'll look at our final point as David shows courage here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around on the other side of this break. Let's look at our final point as we're seeing how David shows courage here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's going to confront Goliath. You know, first area was he entered the battle. The second was that he trusts in God. And now the third one is that he's going to confront Goliath. Join with me there in verse 38. Of 1 Samuel 17. "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail or chain mail." So Saul is going to prepare David for battle the way that Saul thinks David should go. "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off." Couple things. One, David could not go out in Saul's armor because Saul, as we've already discussed, was a head and shoulders taller than any other man. So he's a big man. Even on the next man, his armor would have been big, but especially on about a 12-year-old boy, they would have engulfed him. Also, he had not proved it. Friends, basically, David is saying, I would be more of a danger to myself if I tried to take your sword because it may be top heavy. I may not know how to hold it just right. I'd rather use things that I know. So verse 40, he takes a staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. These stones, experts have theorized they might have been roughly the size of a tennis ball. It's also thought there's a 1 in 3 chance this is the same place where he takes the stones out of the babbling brook that the Ethiopian eunuch meets Philip in Acts chapter 8. But I want you to note, David takes his everyday normal items. He uses what he's familiar with. And friends, this is the best tool we can use today as well. Now, it's often been asked, why did he take 5 stones when he's only going to use 1? He's confident in God. He's confident in his own ability. I kind of almost see it as if that's just to make sure that he makes up on his end of the bargain. If he were to happen to miss, he could reload instantly and throw it again. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked out, he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. Goliath judged the book by his cover. And the Philistine said unto David, verse 43, Am I a dog, that thou comest out to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his idols or by his gods. Friends, Goliath only thought that he saw David's only weapon, which was a staff, but that's not the real weapon. His real weapon is the sling. And so he compared what he thought David was about to do to a man beating a dog with a stick. He said, What's that going to do? But look at this grave insult, he says in verse 44. Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. That was a grave insult, viewed almost worse than actual death itself. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Notice the confidence that David shows. I come to you in the name of the Lord. You have defied him. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee, take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of thy host to the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Much like Joshua and what happened there at Jericho, God gave Israel this into David's hand, and the purpose is so all would know there is a God in Israel. Verse number 47 says, And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the spear and sword, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This really benefits those that were present as well, much like the events in the life of Christ benefited those and those on out throughout the generations. Verse 48, came to pass, they both drew nigh to meet, and David hasted, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Remember, David can't, or the Goliath can't run, so he has to walk. Verse 49, David took his hand in his bag, took a stone, and slung it. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his head, and he fell upon the face of the earth. This sling would have been probably no more than 4 or 5 feet leather, more likely than not. And he would have held both ends of it, put the stone in the middle, start slinging it, use centripetal force. He knew what to do. He let go of one end of it, and that would have sent the slingshot. Now, remember when we talked about the armor. Goliath's armor had one weakness there in the middle of his forehead, and it's going through there. It's estimated that stone is going upwards of 90 miles an hour, goes through, crushes the skull, goes straight through the brain. Then people say, but wait, why does the Bible say he fell upon his face to the earth? Well, Newton's first law says an object in no motion tends to stay in motion. Goliath is charging towards David. He's hit, but yet that power just keeps going forward. He doesn't use a sword just yet, but we see eventually he takes Goliath's sword and chops off his head. And all the Philistines fall away. They flee. They're not the servants that they promised they would be. Verse 54, David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. So David showed his courage by confronting Goliath. There are four quick lessons to learn, and then the lesson is yours. Number one, friends, we all have Goliaths that we must face in our lives. Some are big, some are little, but they all seem big to us. Number two, we are most effective with what we are confident with. That's why David used the slingshot. That's what he was confident with. Number three, if we are with God, no one can stand against us. Once again, Romans 8:31, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then finally, number four, God has a plan for all of us. So David shows courage when he enters the battle, when he trusts in God, and when he confronts Goliath. Friends, we need to show that same level of courage in our lives today as well. Thank you for joining me on Reading the Word. Next week, I hope you'll join us. We'll begin a brand new study. Until then, may the good Lord bless you, may he keep you, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.